the best doctors. We promise we'll pay your medical bills, and we'll bring you the best doctors, and they'll heal you. And so after Abu Walid had said this, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, let him complete, you know, let all his air come out. He said, "Afaradta?" He said, "Are you finished? Have you said everything you wanted to say?" He said, "Yes." And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied with the verses of Quran. Does anybody know which surah he replied? You know which surah? Okay, he replied with Surah Fussilat. Surah Fussilat. Or you might know it in some of the Quran, the Hameen said that. In Surah Fussilat, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now you imagine, it's not a normal person reciting the Quran, it's he whom the Quran was revealed to. It's reciting Abu al-Walid, and many of the times the Arabs, they would put their hands in their ears, and they would turn away from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they wouldn't listen to him. But now he's listening point blank to the recitation, and he's completely, he said everything he wants to say, he has nothing more to say. Now he's listening to the recitation of the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began reading. بعدنا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم حاميم تنزيل من الرحمن الرحيم كتاب فصلت آياته قرآنا عربيا لقوم يعلمون بشيرا ونذيرا فأعرض أكثرهم فهم لا يسمعون وقالوا قلوبنا في أكنة مما تدعونا إليه وفي آذاننا وقر ومن بيننا وبينك حجاب فاعمل إننا عاملون. And the verses go on. In fact, Prophet ﷺ read this surah. It's just like basically long. Even if I sat and read you the surah, you'd be looking at the time and you'd think it was long. The Prophet ﷺ began reading like this, and I'll tell you, I'm not going to translate the verses for you. I'm going to let you go as Abu al-Walid was let go. How Abu al-Walid hurts. Did you understand the verses? And you can see it as this. It's the Prophet's reply to Abu al-Walid, but it's actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the Prophet what to say. So as the Prophet continued reading, he got to the verse, فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا فَقُلْ أَنْذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِقَةً مِثْلَ صَاعِقَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُودَ. And Abu al-Walid, when he heard this, he pounced on the Prophet. And he put his hand over his mouth and he said, "Don't say it. Don't say it." And in fact, this verse is talking about that if they turn their back, then say that I warn you of a sa'iqa, which could be like a thunderbolt, or it could be a destructive, I don't know how to translate it, I got destructive, awful, tormented thunderbolt, meaning you'll be wiped out. As Adam Samud al-Waqa. And when Abu al-Walid heard this, he covered the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ, and in his belief, he felt, after reciting the Prophet ﷺ read those verses, that Allah would destroy them right then and there. That's why he covered his mouth. Okay, so now we come back to the 21st century. You're on your computer. You've left the internet. You're back out. Right, you're back on your computer. And then you turn on your messenger. Messenger pops up and says, you have one message. And then you're thinking, oh, did my Amazon shipment send out? Or I hope it's someone I haven't heard of. One of those, you know, is it addressed to me or is it just one of those bulky messages? So you open it up and then it's one of those, you know, Quran mailing lists. Someone sending out, you know, ayah a day or something like that. Would you ever subscribe to something like that? Some people do. And most likely, if someone stuck you on a list like that, you'll just highlight it and delete it without thinking twice. You want to make up? You don't want to make up. Okay, here we go. But subhanAllah, there's one message in our community that's gone unread. And actually, I was, you know, giving a talk to the youth this morning. Then I made them look. I knew that there had to be a Quran on the shelves where we were, and there's no redaction. And then I could look at it, look how neatly it's sitting there, nice and dusty. And we haven't read the message. And the Qur'an is still waiting to be read. And this is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down to us. And so, inshallah, today we're going to talk about this. So when are we actually going to get around to trying to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we ask Muslim communities around the world, why did Allah reveal the Qur'an? You just gather, you're educated, alhamdulillah. You just get some layman, common Muslims, and say, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal the Qur'an? Then many a person will say that it was Allah revealed it for barakah. Right? You heard that? They do that for barakah. The Qur'an was revealed for barakah. And there's no doubt that the Qur'an is Mubarak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Qur'an is Mubarak. And Mubarak is the person who recites the Qur'an. There's no doubt about that. Blessed is the Qur'an, and blessed is the Mubarak, meaning blessed. But is that the reason for revelation? Is that the reason for revelation? It's not. It's actually just the characteristic. But it's not the reason for revelation. I'll give you some verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك. That a book we sent down to you, مبارك, that's blessed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's blessed. There's no denying that. مبارك ليدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. As Shaykh al-Taymiyyah رحمه الله تعالى, he would say, in this verse, he said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a book we sent down, blessed, مبارك. He says, it's as if the reciter then thinks to himself, Ya Rabbi, why did you reveal the Qur'an? Okay, it's Mubarak, it's blessed, but why? And then that actually, that lamb there, you'll see after the word Mubarak comes a lamb. Lamb kasra is lamb, what kind of lamb is it? In English or Arabic? No, not Salabiyya. Lamb is Ta'aleel. Ta'aleel is why something. Ta'aleel is what's the reasoning behind it. So that's lamb ta'aleel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, liyadabbaru, tadabbar is to contemplate. Liyadabbaru ayati, so that its verses would be contemplated. Contemplated and implemented. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And that أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ are the people of understanding. Not people that don't understand what they're reciting. People who do understand what they're reciting. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرْ, that the Qur'an would be a means of remembering for them. So the Qur'an's blessedness is its characteristic, but not its reason for revelation. The Qur'an was revealed so that we would know what it means and that we would implement it in our lives and act it upon. And you see this misconception of the Qur'an, that its only purpose is just to bring barakah in our lives, has manifestations. Number one, you'll find some families, it might be in your culture, depending on which culture you're from, but they have in their culture that they want their child to recite the Qur'an in Arabic once in their life. Cover to cover once in their life. Right? At least once. You have it in the culture? If you have it, you and actually, and you can ask the brother after, if they read it once, will they try doing it again? No, it's only once. They only read the Qur'an once in the original Arabic, and that's it. For many of them, they will never open the Qur'an for the rest of their lives. They'll say that when I was 12, I did my duty. I recited the Qur'an, so that later on I could tell people, I recited the Qur'an cover to cover in Arabic. I understood nothing of it, but I've done my duty. That's one thing, because they think it's for barakah. Number two, with the other families, they divide the Qur'an into 30 paras. I don't say 30 juz, the little thing juz on it, it's 30 paras. Right, paras. And they divided it into 30 different, like each one has its own binding for a reason. And I know some of the Americans here, like Brother Musa and stuff, you might not have seen these cultures because they're coming from overseas. So not that American culture doesn't necessarily have this yet, but it's something that's brought from overseas. People who have grown up not understanding the Quran. It's divided, each part is divided with its own covering. So that when someone dies, this printing of the Qur'an is brought and divided amongst the people, so they sit in a big circle, and then everybody recites their part, kind of like, you know, instead of one person trying to break all the pieces together, they divide all the pieces. Everybody can break their own piece one by one. So they're like, we're going to divide them up 30, who will all read the Quran, and then there will be like a pandit. You guys say pandit or imam? Okay, they bring an imam to our pandit, Mawlana, to come and take all that reward gathered in one spherical ball and throw it on the dead person. All that is left. This is the concept, right? That they're reading this for the dead. It's, you know, it's like a dead poet society.
Actually, by some means, they hire people from.
They even hire it. They won't even do it themselves, right? They even pay money for the 30 guys to come in. Yeah, because they're faster sighted. And those guys will just get paid and no one will know. And I've seen actually in Egypt that there's people at the graveyard that'll, you give them money and they'll recite Surah Yasin for you. Instead of you wasting your time standing by the grave reading Yasin, they say, we'll do it for you. So obviously you give them the money, then you leave. What are you going to read it for? He's only doing it for the money. So that's another manifestation. And these things are very common. Saying almost every second house will see this. You know, this style of Quran. Another manifestation you'll see. Actually, I'm looking at this Quran because it's the Surah Yasin manifestation. No doubt the Prophet Muhammad said there is blessing in Surah Yasin. I was actually looking at this Quran because if it was one of those people that reads it, there will be a crease on where Surah Yasin is. There's no crease here. But if you want to know who's been reading the Quran, just put it upright and let it fall down. Pages will most likely, and many Qurans just open up to Surah Yasin. Right, because someone just goes to that. So another manifestation is someone dies, they donate like $100,000 to print out these pocket-sized Yasin, and on the back it says, you know, please pray for Dr. Chaudhry or something like that. Right? The Yasin, so that the person after he recites Surah Yasin, at the end, he'll make dua for Dr. Chaudhry. And this guy will get, you know, unlimited blessings because he's handed out Surah Yasin, pocket-sized barakah to everybody around the world. And I would say this, why doesn't he print out Surah Al-Imran? Or even Surah Fussilat? Or Baqarah, you know, any other surah, well, you know, it has to be Yasin. And subhanAllah, I remember in the Haram, they're doing tawaf on the top row, on the roof of the Kaaba, not the Kaaba, like the Masjid al-Haram. And there was a brother sitting there reciting Quran. So some guy, he was just so excited about his tawaf, he quickly went up to him and he said, no, let me open up the surah Yasin for you. And then, you know, the guy was reciting, he got mad, he's like, subhanAllah, the whole thing is the Quran. Like, it has to be only Yasin that we recite. Why can't we read the rest of the Quran? You know, they got kind of like in a little argument and stuff. They left it. But subhanAllah, it's this idea that only Yasin. And why? Because they're thinking barakah. Of course there's barakah in it. When the Prophet ﷺ wants us to read a verse every week or every